Welcome back, college basketball fans, to the it's our season premiere of Under the Radar here at Hoops HD.
Well, yeah, I guess if you don't count the preseason show, this is our regular season premiere.
Yes.
So, and my God, we have the game of the last 2.5 decades to talk about.
I thought that was a decent game between Little Rock and Southwest Baptist.
It was incredible.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs, John Stalica, the three of us here. This is our Under the Radar podcast. And for those of you new to the website, we've got to define for you what it means to be under the radar. David, can you tell them what it means to be under the radar?
Well, there's two qualifiers. Most of them, there's two disqualifiers. One is that you play in one of the regular multi-bid leagues. That's the five power conferences of the ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and Pac-12. And it's also the other regular multi-bid leagues, meaning their first place team and other teams are typically inside the bubble. That would be the Big East, of course, the Atlantic 10, the Mountain West, the West Coast Conference, and the American Athletic Association. So it is the other 22 leagues. The other disqualifier is any team that's ranked in the top 25. Right now, I don't think we have anybody that's all that close,
it'll be interesting
to see what happens with Evansville.
I disagree with you, Dave, because I think next week there is a team on this list that we may not be discussing it under the radar, but for now, they are still under the radar.
Yeah.
And I think we like to have a feature conference every week and under the radar. What we're going to do is start the show off by delving into one of these 22 conferences in a little more depth. And then we run through the other 21 of them in alphabetical order, generally. And we end our show with our under the radar top 10 lists and some final thoughts and the like. Mm-hmm. But let's start. And John, let me bring you in here and start with maybe the least surprise of the season here as to what team is going to, what conference is going to be our under the radar conference of the week. How about the Missouri Valley Conference? Made a little news this week.
Really? I thought we were going to be talking about the Ohio Valley and Moorhead State's 3-0 start.
No, it's the Missouri Valley. We'll get to the OVC and others later. But we saw a pretty darn amazing game. And I'm not talking about Evansville's win over IU Kokomo tonight. I'm talking about their game on Tuesday.
I'll admit, I was flipping quite feverishly between this game and another rock fight between Xavier and Missouri. But this one happened to be far more entertaining. I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop as far as Evansville and Kentucky, but to their credit, it never came for the Aces.
Yeah, and I think everybody, at least when I'm watching the game, I didn't have it on at the tip. As far as the write-ups, I don't think anything was said. It was just listed as a throwaway bye game. And you see the score and you flip on the channel and you're like, okay, Evansville's ahead. At no point really until there was about 5 minutes to go that it dawned on me that this might actually happen. And that's when you're like starting to – I think that's when we started to kind of ask each other over Twitter, over email and everything else, texting – has this ever happened before? And none of us could remember a time when it had, meaning had an under-the-radar team ever won a true road game against the top-ranked team. It had happened, but it was 1992, I think, or 1993.
Well, according to our researcher, Kyle Lamb, it was 1993 in January.
It was 1993 January. It was Long Beach State over Kansas, although I would sort of argue, had we been doing these podcasts back in 1993 – the Big West back then with UNLV, New Mexico State, Long Beach, that may not have been under the radar conference.
No, because it was a multi-bid league. It was multi-bid league. Yeah, so it probably –
you can also throw UC Santa Barbara into that mix too.
Yep.
Right. So this was really unusual. Now, the conference as a whole has had its share of success. Wichita State, who's no longer a member, making the Final Four in 2013 – recently just picked up a win a couple years ago against Louisville that had to vacate that win against them. So the de facto national runners up, I guess, I don't know. And, Loyola Chicago, who is not very good now, going to the Final Four, was it 2 years ago? So this team, this league has been one of the better under the radar leagues.
Yeah.
It has.
I'd probably agree with you there, David. Of these 22 leagues in the past 10 years, this is probably number one of the 22 of them.
Yeah, but still very much under the radar. It still fits into that category. And, my God, I mean, that was historic. It really was. It hasn't happened in 27 years or 26 years, however long ago it was, and did it actually happen then? Like you said, if we were doing this show back then, we would not have considered the Big West an under-the-radar conference.
Right, and it was – I had the exact same feel that you did. I kept kind of watching the game, only half watching it, because yeah. I just knew Kentucky was going to make the run, and it was going to end up being a 10-point Kentucky win, and it'll be a little scare, and that's it. Yeah. So we've seen that game a million times. With Florida and Towson, in fact.
Florida Towson, a little recently, Tennessee struggling with Murray the other night, they blew it open. We saw Kansas sweating out Greensboro, they blew it open. I mean, you just figured that was how it was going to end.
And when it didn't happen, and suddenly there you are watching Evansville win a game in Kentucky, and let me throw it out there. We kind of already mentioned this, but if you are an AP voter and you just saw a team pick up what may be the best true road win that anybody gets all season this year.
Yeah, it might be.
are you voting Evansville in the top 25? I think I am.
Yeah. I mean, it would make sense. And if you're on the selection committee, that is the kind of win that if they're able to keep winning at a high clip and they play their way onto the bubble, that's kind of better than what anyone else on the bubble is going to have. And they may even get inside the bubble. I mean, that was a huge, huge win.
This is a tier – when we start talking resumes later on the season, this is a tier 1A win. This is top 15 road win, top 10 road win.
Like you said, it might be the single most impressive road win of any kind of the season. It really might be.
And the quality is now there for Evansville. Now we get to see if the quantity is going to be there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and that's a good point too, John. Yeah,
and actually, I've got Evansville's team sheet here. We can take a look at their upcoming schedule after they beat Kokomo tonight. They've got coming up on Monday SMU at home. They got SMU. Yeah. Then East Carolina is the first run of a 8-team event that they're in. That I think the second best team of that event is Liberty. If I recall, it's not a very strong event. Liberty is pretty good, but beyond that, they've got Morgan State and the like. It's a fairly weak event. East Carolina may be one of the better teams in that event.
Yeah.
IUPUI, Western Illinois. No other besides this SMU game. Really, no other big non-conference tests left on the schedule, which may hurt at the end of the day also a little bit. Because
how can you overlook Mother Miami right below Western Illinois?
I did. maybe the road trip to Jacksonville State will. By our standards, will look pretty good, but, it's not a big name.
Yeah. So a lot of winnable games, but like you said, I mean, the margin for error does exist, especially after a win like that, but it isn't really big, even after a win like that.
Let's talk about the rest of the conference, though. John, let me ask you, Northern Iowa and Illinois State both out to undefeated starts, and you can see there by the very early RPI returns, actually Illinois State ends up being the number one team in the nation. But
we'll get to enjoy that for a couple days in Northern Iowa. That was a team we were expecting to see up here, and they certainly didn't disappoint. As far as Drake, who was the regular season champ last year, no shame in losing to Cincinnati, but if you're a team like Missouri State, who's also getting a few looks, they'll have a big opportunity Friday night at Xavier before they begin the Charleston Classic the following week.
And Dave, we've got to mention a couple of disappointments here. First of all, no longer having Barry Hinson, Southern Illinois picks up back-to-back losses over the weekend to Delaware and Oakland.
Right, because they no longer have Barry Hinson. That is the reason.
And Loyola Chicago, as you mentioned, 2 years removed from a Final Four, losing at home to a MEAC team in Coppin State.
Yeah.
Yeah, how the mighty have fallen there, I think.
Right, yeah.
Let's take a quick look at the upcoming schedule for the rest of this week in the Missouri Valley. Should be coming on the right-hand side of the screen there. Missouri State at Xavier, as we mentioned.
That's a good one. I mean, I don't think Missouri will – Xavier looked incredibly sloppy the other night. Missouri State, one of the conference favorites. Xavier better play a little bit better than they did against Mizzou.
Well, you can't play much better from a defensive standpoint, but the shooting certainly left a lot to be desired.
Yeah. How about that San Fran Southern Illinois game? That one's pretty.
I don't know. I think Southern Illinois get their butts kicked in that one game they've played so far. As may Loyola Chicago at home against St. Joe's, who showed some life against UConn.
Yeah.
But let's kind of go back to the go over to the America East here and start running through all these leagues a little bit quicker. Where Vermont is off to a very nice 3-0 start, including a road win at St. Bonaventure. They took care of BU easily last night at home. Real nice start for this team that I think we are all very high on.
Yeah, I wasn't as high as you all, but I'm getting there quickly, especially after seeing what happened to a couple teams that I was high on. But yeah, I mean, they're off to a 3-0 start, but they've won impressively.
At Bucknell was their other game.
And like these are not just, I mean, these are not pastry cart type wins when you, because those are teams that typically play very well at home.
Also a nice win by UMBC at Florida Gulf Coast in the Battle of the Cinderellas. Two teams have made the two biggest Cinderella runs in NCAA tournament history.
Comeback win by UMBC because I think they were down about 8 or 9 in the second half before making a 14-point swing in the final 5 minutes.
I believe you're correct there. And John, the upcoming schedule in the America East for this coming week, we see Vermont, a very, very interesting game coming up Saturday at St. John's, and then followed up Tuesday with a trip to Virginia.
Well, St. John's is certainly going to be winnable, but we'll see if Vermont can actually crack 40 or 50 points against Virginia. Yeah.
If Vermont wins the next two, they're going to be in pretty good shape.
That'll be a great shape if they win the next two.
They'll also be ineligible for this show should that happen.
Very well might be. UMBC, a trip to LSU after they host Georgian Court at home.
Who?
Georgian Court on Saturday at UMBC.
Where did they find these people?
How about this cross-country trip here? Maine Tuesday night at Washington.
I only care about the battle of the Sunnis between Potsdam and Albany.
Yeah.
let's move on. John, Atlantic Sun, we are very good start. They see North Alabama in red. They are ineligible for the postseason play. That's why they're in red. But Liberty off to a solid 3-0 starts, wins over Liberty, Eastern Shores, South Carolina State. Nothing impressive in terms of who they played, but they are 3-0.
Yeah, nothing impressive there. I mean, I suppose the game to be looking at would be North Alabama against Carver Bible College.
I'm not looking at it,
I'm
David.
Not really looking at it.
Actually,
that way,
North Florida had a nice
Lee Delvecchio is watching that one, but like no one else.
North Florida had a fun game tonight against Southern Miss. They pulled out a 3-point win. I was watching a fair amount of that game this evening. But
yeah, Southern Miss is just atrocious. We'll get to them when we get to CUSA.
Do we have to? upcoming games, David, Liberty is at East Carolina. Then they host Navy on Tuesday.
Yeah, Liberty, I mean, can we pull up their schedule here? Because I know that they've got like one or two tests, but for the most part, it's winnable games, which is, I mean, you like winning. Who doesn't like winning? But the problem is how much credit are they going to get? East Carolina, not very good, although it's a road game. Like Navy, Morgan State, Kentucky, Christian. I mean, this is just Grand Canyon having in a bad year.
Well, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's a quality name, and at LSU, I mean.
This is a team, they're capable of winning one or both of those even. Well, at least, one of them. I think they're better than Vanderbilt. But Liberty is looking at upper 20s in terms of total wins. I mean, this is a very good team, round of 32 team from a year ago that returns pretty much everyone.
Right. And again, that event at the end, they could end up with a championship game. That event between Liberty and Evansville, which would be a would be worth watching. But that's the only possible matchup in that event that they're in that may be worth watching. David, let me stick with you here and run on over to the Big Sky Conference, where Sac State, a powerful 1-0, or with a win over Simpson University. I don't know what to say.
Not much here. There's a couple teams out of here that we really like. Eastern Washington, really disappointing. And I know that it's hard to play on the road, and St. Louis is hardly chopped liver, but to go in there and get absolutely pancaked like that was kind of surprising. And you know, Northern Colorado off to a decent 2-1 start, a win over, but then again, nothing really.
I guess we got to talk Southern Utah. They got the win at Nebraska, and they had BYU dead to rights last night. And
yeah,
and
played and real Cougars well.
Come back. Yeah.
Yeah, they played real well. They were ahead of them late in the game, and then just I mean all the way they were ahead of them late in the game. Like you said, they let them back into it, and then I think all the way down to the final possession, or at least like to the final minute, less than a minute to go, they were still in a position to possibly win it, but couldn't get it done. But I think I'm with you, Chad. Southern Utah, a former Centenary winner, a recent Centenary winner.
Yes, just a few years ago.
Yeah, probably the best team in the Big Sky. Now, I know we're only 2 and 3 games in, but they've looked better to me than anybody else I've seen.
Well, Salika, the upcoming weekend, and are we circling this Friday night game between Sagu American Indian College and Northern Arizona?
I suppose that would be one to circle. We could also circle Southern Utah at UCLA if we're going to be talking Thunderbirds.
Okay, if they beat UCLA, I will love it. We might have to make them a de facto team of the people since we didn't do that this year.
Let's keep rolling right along here. And Sleek, let me stick with you and move over to the Big South Conference. Where we've got Hampton as the only undefeated team, but again, they have not played a D1 foe. But I think we got to talk about Winthrop there and what they did with going out to St. Mary's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely have to talk about the Fighting Kelseys because it was actually quite a remarkable 48 hours because we forget that on Sunday night, they also gave Fresno State a pretty good game on the road. But instead of showing some fatigue, they go to Moraga just 24 hours later and they survive a late run from the Gales and actually come up with a significant victory.
But yeah, David, then they turn around tonight with a tough, tough test against East Tennessee State, but they fail.
Yeah, they fail, but they were right in there. So, I mean, you don't want to get too much in the habit of giving credit for not winning games. But, I mean, all three of these games, all tough, tough road games, especially East Tennessee State and especially St. Mary's, they win one of them. They play really well in the other. East Tennessee State, they fell behind but fought their way back against, you know, on the road. They just couldn't get it done. And to like Stalika mentioned, they pretty much let St. Mary's tip the buzzer.
And mercifully, the 4-game road trip is now at an end for Winthrop.
Yeah.
So they come home to play Mid-Atlantic Christian and then Tennessee Tech, I believe, next week.
Yeah.
So not much of a notable test here. I guess we got one game to circle here Friday night. Gardner-Webb, NCAA tournament participant on the road at North Carolina. I don't expect much, but
Quick shout out to Longwood, off to a 3-1 start, 2-1 in Division I, not looking terrible. They're kind of a fun story if they can. They won tonight. So.
Yeah, they did win tonight against SFBK, was it? But one other game here of note, though, Tuesday night, Radford at Northwestern, a very schizophrenic Northwestern team so far. Oh, so I would not be surprised to see the Highlanders go in there and win that game.
I wouldn't either.
David, we're going to talk a little Big West, and as a big fan of Nebraska, or at least formerly so, got to talk a little UC Riverside, who that game is even on here because it was before that even, but Riverside 2-0, win over Idaho, and a win at Nebraska despite being undermanned.
Yeah, Idaho, one of the worst teams in the history of the sport, gave them a better game than Nebraska did. And that is just what happens when you get rid of Tim Miles. That's all I got to say. So, 2-0 start and 2 wins on the road, I believe. So, yeah, pretty impressive there.
The Idaho game was at home.
Idaho game was at home. Yeah. Irvine, again, not a real costly loss. I mean, I know that they're replacing a lot, but they were still the team that I liked the best. I still think I like them the best. Riverside probably will come back down to earth.
Fullerton wins in Wyoming. It's not easy to win in Wyoming. So
it's not.
Ask South Carolina. They failed last year.
Yeah, there are years Wyoming just can't seem to win in Wyoming.
Upcoming schedule, Long Beach State at St. Mary's. That game is tonight. We're recording this around 9:45 here. So that game, I believe, is going on.
Yeah.
It's going on this evening. But a few other games coming up this week include Riverside at Sac State and at Pacific. Uh-huh. UCSB at Oregon State coming up on Wednesday. That's one maybe.
That one's good. That one might be kind of fun.
Is it just me, or is like all the conferences played Simpson, California at least once so far?
I don't know.
John, the Colonial. We just watched Towson almost take down Florida, but we're not able to pull the game out.
Well, there have been a couple close calls for Towson. This one, certainly not on Friday night against Bryn Athyn.
Okay. They lost the game, the home game to Kent State as well by 4 points. David, the team that surprised me the most here, though, was William & Mary with it. It's a very surprising win at Wofford.
Yeah, I mean, a real nice win for them there. And again, this was a team that we thought would just sort of be in the basement of the league, off to a 3-0 start, and, you know, 3-1 wins, a couple of road wins.
Yeah, so I'm kind of keeping an eye open here. No, Delaware 4-0, one of the very few 4-0 teams in the country. Not that they've beaten anybody of note, but
no, yeah, they had to sweat out a pretty bad Oakland team, so let's not get too excited about that. But you know, 3-0 is 3-0, or 4-0, I guess, if you count their non-D1 win. How about before we move on, Chad? Northeastern is a team that we all liked. I still like them, but they typically, as in years past, lose games that you would expect them to win. I was actually. I wasn't expecting much at all from UMass, so this isn't a backhanded compliment. I really, really thought Northeastern would go into UMass and beat them, and they did.
That was a game at UMass, but to their credit, at least Northeastern swept the bean pot minus Boston College.
Yeah, nice one over Harvard that they have already. A Northeastern, interesting week ahead, that they got a trip to Holy Cross and that home game against Old Dominion. So,
yeah,
two decent games there. Also, Circle Monday night, William & Mary at Oklahoma. Probably stepping out of their league there for Delaware.
Yeah, swinging a little bit too high over their heads.
But then a trip to Stanford next week.
They can win that one.
So let's keep rolling right along here and into Conference USA. David, you wanted to speak Conference USA. I don't know why, but how much do you want to do on Southern Miss, or would you rather talk Western Kentucky?
They're not very good. Kind of a surprise team here. Middle Tennessee off to a 3-0 start and like a smattering of decent wins. Western Kentucky, extremely talented. And then UTEP, granted at home, beating an albeit very injured, but basically leading tip to buzzer against New Mexico State to snap. I guess that's a rivalry. I didn't realize that they were only 50 miles apart.
Yeah, that's a huge rivalry. They play twice every year. And Salika, we know that in the preseason, in a charity game, UTEP beat Texas Tech this year.
UTEP, they did. And then we're going to talk about other rivalries for the first time in 8 years. Charlotte finally gets the upper hand against Davidson in a game that wasn't as close as this final score would indicate.
Oh, Charlotte just crushed them. And so, you know, a couple of big moments. Rice out to a 3-1 start. Now, I know they haven't really played anybody good, but Rice isn't good themselves typically, so the fact that they're beating anyone is kind of a surprise. And how about UTSA, Chad? That was one of my dark horses, off to an 0-4 start.
Good call there. Good call there, David. Upcoming schedule at CUSA. We see all the games at Western Kentucky is going to be at Eastern Kentucky and then hosting Campbellsville. It's maybe a little while till we really start learning about this Western Kentucky team.
Right, yeah,
probably. And that New Mexico-UTEP round two is actually coming up on Tuesday. It's a very quick turnaround for these two teams to play. Oh, no, that's New Mexico, not New Mexico State. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They're hosting New Mexico here on Tuesday, not New Mexico State.
Old Dominion, kind of another team to keep an eye on. So Charlotte going to, after their big win, hop, Appy State.
Middle Tennessee gets Villanova. I think that's the first round of their exempt event next Thursday. Let's just keep going here. Let's move on to the Horizon League. Salika, you're in the Cincinnati area. How about Wright State off to a nice 3-0 start, including a powerful win at Miami, Ohio, that you love to
That's a nice game to kick off the mythical Miami Valley Conference, and following that up with a win at Tennessee Tech. But I think another team we have to look at this week is going to be IUPUI, not because of their win against Anderson, but because they go down to South Florida and also pummel the Bulls by 17.
This may be something more to speak about on Monday night when we do our Hoops HD report, to speak about the American, because this South Florida team we thought might have something this year, then lost their best player for the season. But to get pummeled at home by a team that we picked to make them finish at the bottom of the Horizon League, I believe, this season.
They had a rough offseason with their coach getting fired very, very late in the summer. But I mean, what a showing from IUPUI to just go down there and do that. But Northern Kentucky goes out to Mizzou, plays them close for, I want to say it was 25, 30 minutes or so. And so, I mean, yeah, they're 2-1, but, I mean, the Norse are still going to be right there with Wright State the whole way, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. And in terms of upcoming games in this conference, Wright State is hosting Kent State on Saturday. We see Northern Kentucky hosting that dangerous Coppin State team that we already mentioned picked up a big win at Loyola Chicago earlier.
How about Green Bay going to Wisconsin? Well, okay, I mean that is a home neutral type of series they got going there.
Right. Yeah, that's a little bit of a step up from a game against Wisconsin Stout last week.
Yeah.
Ivy League. I like this Harvard team coming into the season. And they did everything they could to try to lose to Siena tonight. Now, they ended up winning the game, but they tried as hard as they could to lose this game, and they have just been very disappointing. I mean, I'm sure they're 3-1, but they have not looked good, David.
Not at all. And let's – again, everything kind of upside down right now. Brown, who we thought was a dark horse, looking good so far. But how about Dartmouth getting some big wins, going to Buffalo and winning, right out of the
Gulf Coast? Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a team that we thought would be sub 300 on the year, or at least I did, looking really good.
And you've got to – and then Penn wins at Alabama, gets a home win over LaSalle, loses to Rice. Something doesn't make sense here.
No, I mean, Penn, you're defending Big Five champions, continuing to defend their title, but losing to Rice.
Yep. Kind of sounds like exactly what they did last year, actually.
Yeah, I know. It kind of did, yeah.
Upcoming games, Dartmouth and Merrimack coming up Friday night. That's a huge one there. Harvard and Buffalo.
Is that a neutral floor game or something?
That is at an exempt event that I believe is being hosted by Lowell, so it's just across town.
Okay.
If I'm correct.
Where is Merrimack?
Merrimack is in Lowell. So
okay, thanks.
So I think I'd actually, so we should get Merrimack and Lowell coming up later this weekend as well. But that's not on this page.
Okay.
Columbia at St. John's, Princeton at Indiana.
Columbia at St. John's. Yeah, the New York City will be gripped with interest.
Salika, Metro Atlantic. We got two undefeated teams, I guess, in Ryder and 1-0 Manhattan.
Yeah, Ryder was another team that had started off pretty well last year, and they continue to do so this year as well. Iona, a team that's probably going to end up winning the Metro Atlantic, a couple tough luck losses. One was at LaSalle last Saturday where they came back from 18 to force overtime, but unfortunately fall in that one. But losing to a sneaky good Ohio team, even with Tim Kluse back on the bench, we'll see.
Was he off the bench?
He was off the bench because of illness for their game at LaSalle.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Right. Yeah. I tell you, the one team I started to look at a little bit, Siena, after what they almost stole a game at Harvard tonight, picked up the win against the Bonnies. There might be a little something here for the Saints this season. Kind of keeping half an eye on them, at least at this early stage. Other than that, you see a lot of red, a lot of losses here in the conference, non-conference play early on. And moving on over here to the upcoming games, Friday night, Monmouth at Kansas, Riders at Arizona State.
A lot of bye games.
A lot of bye games. Lots and lots of bye games. I think these are all – every single game there, I think, is a road game in this conference. This week.
Yeah.
But, David, Mid-American Conference, Ohio, Kent State, Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan, Central Michigan, all off to undefeated starts. Eastern Michigan, a very powerful 3-0 against – three non-D1 teams.
Yeah, Ohio going on the road and winning at Iona. Ohio, who at least I thought was going to be at the bottom of this league, beating the team that we think is at the top of the MIA, or of the MAC, the other MAC, the Metro Atlantic, and looking pretty good in that game. So, like, Ohio probably a little bit better than expected. Buffalo struggling probably more than we thought they would. I mean, I know that they lost a lot, but I don't think that we thought that they would fall off to the degree that they have. The one thing that I haven't seen out of this league, Chad, and I really like this league and I always think it's going to be good, is a team that looked legitimately good.
Well, David, I got to tell you, Eastern Michigan Oh, it's after a 3-0 start against three non-D1 teams. Now, RPI doesn't even matter anymore, but we do have the calculations for what the RPI would be if it still mattered here on the screen. And I don't know that there's ever been a 3-0 team in the history of college basketball that was ranked 347 in the RPI. An undefeated team ranked 347 in the RPI.
How are
this
they
is
even,
historic what he's doing.
Their RPI is zero. How is it not 353? You can't be less than zero.
They must be tied with somebody. I don't know. Salika, the upcoming games here in the Mid-American Conference should be showing up on the screen there. Anything that you're looking forward to here?
Well, we're looking at a team like Bowling Green, who had also come off of a tough luck loss at LSU, but I don't think this week they're going to have to be worrying about Fairmont State, for example.
Yeah, Bowling Green did battle LSU a little bit. I mean, they were overmatched, but I guess they did okay on that.
But if you go back towards the bottom, there is a game that's going to be sneaky relevant. That's going to be Toledo going to Notre Dame.
Yeah,
that's next Thursday, still a week away, but that one's worth looking at. Ohio at Villanova is probably not going to be worth looking at, but yeah, Villanova did not do very well against Ohio State, so hey, who knows?
No.
The Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference.
Jesus.
I don't know why we even discussed this one. Let's see here. We do have 1, 2, 3 D1 wins, though, in this league already, including that Coppin State one we discussed. North Carolina A&T beat Charleston Southern. NC Central beat USC Upstate. And then a lot of red.
Yeah, and it's just this is one of those leagues that plays so many bye games on the road that you don't really know anything about the teams until they start playing each other. I mean, you can, I guess, determine some things, but what can you say? I mean, they just go, they're getting paid, they're challenging themselves, I suppose, but they're really just getting paid. And one of the teams that we did like, this NC Central team, is one of the teams that won a D1 game. So
right. Their next game is at Louisville. Yeah, good luck. But I guess I'm going to kind of keep half an eye on the Coppin State this week, though, at Northern Illinois, at Northern Kentucky, at Pacific. If this team actually has anything, like they showed against Loyola, maybe keep an eye on those three games.
Mm-hmm. Maybe so.
But unfortunately, we're still in the PBS pledge drive portion of their schedule.
Yeah.
Salika over in the Northeast Conference, Merrimack there, the huge win at Northwestern. We mentioned that earlier, in fact. They are
it looks like 5 wins total. Yeah.
Two of them by Bryant, who gave Rutgers a very game effort on opening night, and they got wins over Brown and Cornell, I believe. Or no, St. Peter's and Cornell. They lost to Brown, but maybe something out of Bryant this season. I don't know.
Maybe so. Again, another team. Well, I mean, this league is a blast once we get in the conference play. It's the best one.
Yeah. We love conference play in this league, but the non-conference schedule, there's the upcoming schedule. There's that Merrimack at Lowell game on Saturday as part of that event at the Battle of Lowell. So circle that one.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. We've got the Battle of Riverside. We've got the Battle of Lowell. It's good stuff. We will be watching.
John, I know you wanted to discuss Moorhead. You mentioned at the top of the show, crushing win at Presbyterian tonight, and there they are, first place in the Ohio Valley Conference.
I know it doesn't seem much right now, but keep in mind, Moorhead State, just 2 years ago, they were at the bottom of the barrel in the Ohio Valley after losing Coach Sean Woods and just having to completely start from scorched earth.
Yeah, and David, in terms of the rest of the league, I've not seen anything that's shown me that Belmont and Murray State are what they were last season by any means.
Oh, they're not what they were last year. Belmont, again, played pretty well. It was a game that they basically needed to win if they wanted to demonstrate that they had reloaded and not rebuilt. But I still like these teams better than most of the rest of the league. I think Jack State is going to get there, a transfer-heavy team with a lot of JUCO players on there. That's just sort of like how Ray Harper – runs that show. But Murray State, I know that they didn't beat Tennessee, but I mean, they looked pretty good for 30 minutes, and I think in the end it's going to be Murray and Belmont and Jacks at the top.
Right, I kind of agree there. I think that's what it comes down to. Here's the upcoming schedule. as we mentioned, Eastern Kentucky is hosting Western Kentucky. Belmont, a trip to Boston College.
But I get a feeling, as far as Moorhead goes, the party's over next Wednesday when they go to Missouri.
They get one more tune-up here with Maryland Eastern Shore coming in this weekend. But, David, let me ask you about the next conference up, which should be the Patriot League if things are working. If it's not, then we'll get some other conference. What is the Patriot League?
Okay. You were going to ask me
about the Patriot League. Have you seen anything you liked here so far? Let's see. Everybody has Buffnell, a loss already.
Yeah, Buck. I mean, a team that I didn't think was going to be that good at all. Well, no, I'm sorry. I thought Bucknell was basically sort of reloading. They weren't one of the ones that I thought that would be at the top of the league, but they've looked pretty good so far. You know, I kind of like what I've seen out of them. Lehigh, and I realize it's early. It wasn't all that big on them, but they won
at Albany, and they beat that monster powerhouse Philadelphia Biblical.
Yeah. I don't know. Other than that, I mean, nothing really jumps out, but I have been impressed with what I've seen from Bucknell.
Stalika, what's coming up here? Anything that you're circling this week, or are we still just kind of waiting for conference season here?
If we're just looking for our flavor of the month as far as SUNY schools, look no further than Cortland visiting Colgate next Thursday.
Yeah, Colgate, the preseason favorite, went into Syracuse the other night, lost, and what was John Rothstein was very impressed with the Syracuse win over Colgate. Was it he and Norlander?
He and Norlander got to a Twitter battle. Look it up if you've got a few minutes and you want some laughs.
About Colgate and Syracuse. Just everything about that sentence, John Rothstein and Matt Norlander and a Twitter battle over Colgate and Syracuse.
The gist of it was he was praising Syracuse for putting Colgate on their schedule when in reality they've had Colgate on there every year going back to 1992.
Haven't
they played like 100 times or something?
Let's look it up if you want, but I want to move on to the Southern Conference here, which is a conference that we are going to be following a lot this season.
Yes.
It's a conference, David, that at least at this point we believe could get itself into the at-large bid consideration like it was last year with Greensboro just missing out. Mm-hmm. But East Tennessee State, firm and undefeated. Greensboro is up there.
Furman undefeated with some impressive road wins. And again, I mean, they haven't been beating – top 25 or really top 40 teams, but I mean 2-0 on the road already. East Tennessee State getting a nice win tonight, and Greensboro, their one loss, like they were they ahead at the half against Kansas, or they were right in there,
right?
And then like they just kind of ran out of gas down the stretch, but you know, good so far. A little surprised with Samford, losing in overtime at who'd they play? Stalika's Moorhead State team.
Yes.
And then just getting blasted by Belmont the other night. And this was a Samford team that we thought was going to be much closer to the top of the league than at the bottom.
Well, we're going to find out a little bit about this conference next week on Tuesday night. East Tennessee State's at Kansas. Furman is at Alabama. A couple of good road tests for some of the top teams in this league. So
Wofford's also got a brutal weekend with Butler looming on Saturday and then Missouri 48 hours later.
But then an easy trip to South Florida, at least.
Yeah.
Comparatively
easy. Yeah. Wofford off to a 2-1. I mean, nothing like what they were last year, but again, not chopped liver.
Stephen F. Austin off to a 3-0 start. Wins over North Carolina Central and Niagara and the only team with – I guess Nichols.
Let's talk about Nichols because, you know, going out there and getting the win against Pitt after nearly beating
Illinois,
really good week. I mean, to get one of those was pretty good. To almost get a second one, even better. A Nichols team we really weren't that excited about, or I wasn't, even by Big South or even by Southland standards. I'm sorry. Really good week, and they look pretty good in that, at least in that Pittsburgh game.
And I think we should just note that we have just mentioned every single D1 win this conference has on the season. What we just said here. So congrats to the rest of the Southland for sucking it up.
Wow. I did not notice that. That is epic. Epic.
I think I should at least congratulate Sela for beating Xavier at home, but that's the other Xavier, though, down in New Orleans.
SFA is hosting Drexel this week, and then they've got a trip to Rutgers next week. As far as that Nichols team, there should be on the schedule there somewhere. Not the, oh, they play Rhode Island on Tuesday.
We're giving the Southland all of the credit it deserves. It should be on there somewhere.
And at LSU on Saturday. So they're at LSU, and then they play Rhode Island on Tuesday. So that is the only games worth watching probably in the Southland this week. But let's go even – let's make things even worse than the Southland.
Oh, boy. Go to Salika.
Salika.
Yeah, it's only fair I get a turn after the puppet got to go through the MEAC right here, but – there was actually one D1 victory, and that's going to be Grambling at the aforementioned Stila yesterday.
Yeah, now we say this every year, Chad. Do they get to 10 out-of-conference wins?
They're on pace not even to get to 5. So, again, we're talking D1 non-conference wins.
Yeah, D1 wins. I know that some of those teams have won games, but not against D1 teams.
Yeah, I mean, Ecclesia College and Paul Quinn suffered tough losses also. Here's some time and schedule to see where we can find those wins. I'm looking. Maybe Pine Bluff at Grand Canyon.
New Mexico State is just really sucky right now. They're only up 5 on Southern. I'm actually watching the game.
Now, Chad, do me a favor. Go back to the scores for a moment because I want to highlight a weird factoid.
Thank you.
Because in the span of, I think, one day, we had one team win by 95 points and another team lose by 94. And that would be Grambling winning against Ecclesia, while Mississippi Valley State was just getting dump trucked by Utah.
Yeah, that was a that's swack for you.
But,
couple more conferences we've got to run through here. Let's run through them real quick here. The Summit League, first of all, congrats to the South Dakota Coyotes.
The Yotes.
The Yotes go out to Hawaii and sweep the Rainbow Classic to get the championship out there.
Yeah, they've already got some hardware out there. 3-0, 3 wins away from home. One a true road win against Hawaii. So – good start for the Yotes. You know, how about South Dakota State and North Dakota State, too? Teams that we kind of like out of this
season. I think those are going to be the three teams this season, all season long, quite honestly. And upcoming this week, John, in the Summit League, South Dakota State at Nebraska, that could definitely be another win for this league.
Yeah.
Almost going to be disappointed if the Jackrabbits don't win at Nebraska.
Not necessarily what else that there's really worth watching here. South Dakota State is at Arizona next week as well. Oral Roberts hosting Rogers State.
I don't know.
South Dakota hosting Edwardsville. Sunbelt Conference. almost had a very impressive story to talk about with Little Rock tonight where they were trailed most of their game against Southwest Baptist, but they did pull it out at the end there. It scores the name on the screen. But, I don't know. John, is there anything that stood out for you so far in this league? I've been,
I think I'm just going to take a screenshot of this while we have hot at the top of the conference.
Yes. Appalachian State at the top here with that win over East Carolina. Not much else we could talk about, though, in this league. Maybe we just take a look at what's coming ahead, David.
Yeah, South Alabama, real quick, hosted Auburn the other night. Had a chance to win. It was actually in the final seconds, Auburn hit the game-winning shot. While South Alabama is not going to be anywhere near the bubble, I do think that they're one of the better teams in the conference. I wasn't sold on them initially, but I kind of am now.
Yeah, their only D1 game this week is coming up Friday night. They're in Chattanooga. They're hosting a non-D1 team next week. See about that game tomorrow night. That Chattanooga not that good this season, so I expect them to be able to go out there and win. Mm-hmm. Talk about teams that can lose and lose bad, and it probably won't even be on the screen here because I think it's a little bit more than a week ago, but the Craig Canyon Antelopes. Bad start to the season. Overall 0-3 versus D1 0-2. That's a problem.
I did not, and again, this is a team that's been really successful as a transitional program in the last few years, just off to a horrendous start and looking bad. It happens once. It's just a really bad night. But in all three games, they've looked pretty terrible.
On top of that, the entire league, there is one D1 win in the conference, and it came to Cal Baptist.
Who's not even eligible. I was praising New Mexico State. Now, New Mexico State has just been hit hard with injuries. They should be healthy again before the end of the year, but right now, sweating out Southern a little bit. I say sweating it out. They've got them at arm's length, but a really poorly played game the other night at UTEP and then not looking all that good tonight. Now, again, they're without a lot of key players, but this was a league that I was kind of excited for, and after a week and a half, I'm kind of disappointed in it.
I don't even know what to say here. We're looking ahead at the schedule. I mean, New Mexico State at Arizona is the game to circle, and if it was a full-strength New Mexico State team, I'd be excited about that game, but I'm kind of not.
No.
How about top 10 list time?
Okay, yeah.
Under the radar top 10, our first of the season, November 14th, 2019, we've got the only three of us voting, and their votes were all across the board here, which is expected the first week of the season, I guess. But
yeah,
let's go through a whole list of honorable mentions, teams that got votes that did not make the top 10. They include Greensboro, Nichols, Belmont, Colgate, Stalica,
Dartmouth.
Vote. All right. UC Riverside, the first place team.
UC Riverside. Own up
to it. I specifically voted for Keggy the Keg.
Keggy the Keg did not make it, yeah. But UTEP in there off the New Mexico State win, Wright State in the Horizon League. I voted for Riverside. I'll fess up on that one. But let's go through the top 10 now. Coming at number 10, we have that New Mexico State team still getting some love despite not having won a game yet.
Yeah. And again, it's unfortunate that they're so beat up, but I mean, right now I'm just not seeing it. I do like number 9. I don't think they made my top 10, but that's a good Northern Iowa team.
Very good Northern Iowa team, despite what Evansville did, Northern Iowa up there. And South Dakota off of that.
The Yotes! Yeah, I didn't. I thought I was one of the only ones that voted for them. Yeah.
You're not, coming in number 7.
Love the Yotes this year.
Furman, one of those solid teams out of the SoCon that we discussed.
I'm big on this Furman team.
And Winthrop off the streak that went to St. Mary's, despite a couple of losses, getting in the top 6. So, congrats to that team. Western Kentucky at number 5. I thought they would be even higher than this, but they just haven't played anybody yet to truly show how good.
Yeah, and again, a little bit schizophrenic there, but
that's a case of us expecting them to be good, but the body of the work not quite there compared to the other teams that will be coming up.
Yeah, one in particular.
Number 4 is Liberty. Very, very good team. We're very high on this team here.
They were actually my number 1.
They were number 1 on a couple on at least one list. Yeah, and number 3, East Tennessee State.
Another
team out of this that's subcon. So there we see two teams in the top 10, and Greensboro just missing it.
Yeah,
top 2 teams though. Number 2, I thought they'd be number 1. They are number 2 here. Okay, Vermont is number 2. Very high on this Vermont team.
Mm-hmm.
And number 1, it was not unanimous. I thought it would be, but they did get enough votes coming at number 1, and that's Evansville.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're going off of merit, it's absolutely Evansville.
Right. And in fact, David, you do your merit brackets. They are going to be a 1 seed this week, are they not?
Probably. I mean, I won't know until I sit down and do it, but unbeaten. Yeah. I mean, who's got more merit than they do? I can't think of anybody.
I guess on that note, let's pull this screen down here. Let's run through each of us here for some final thoughts. Sleek, let me start with you.
I know it's not going to be the same team that they had last year, but you got to give major credit to Dartmouth for ending Buffalo's 26-game home winning streak with their road win in Buffalo on Saturday. And also, not easy to follow that up, but they do that with a home win against Florida Gulf Coast. So we'll see if that's a sign of good things to come for the Big Green.
Could be. David.
I mean, when you start to look at the under-the-radar top 10 and some of the teams, one of the things that kind of got – it's rare that a UTR team goes on the road and beats a ranked team. We saw it happen twice in 24 hours, and after the second one happened, we almost forgot entirely about Winthrop's win over St. Mary's. But that was a really big win. And – those are the kinds of wins that you almost – you don't need them, but, like, if you get them, it makes the biggest difference in the world when you're trying to get inside the bubble. I mean, we do the mock committee. You agree with that because, like, Evansville has a path to it now. I mean, I'm not ready to declare them a top 40 caliber team just yet, but they have a path to it if they can continue to win against that schedule because they have a monster quality win.
Absolutely, they do. And like I said, I really expect this to be a top 25 team. I expect us to be discussing Evansville again come Monday night, not just in the context of the Kentucky victory, but we'll see what the voters do. I just think that that that's the type of thing that the voters are going to love.
Yeah.
On that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us for our Under the Radar podcast. We'll be back again next week with a Hoops HD report and Under the Radar. I think we're also doing our Exempt Tournament Madness show next week.
Yeah, so yeah, got a special next week.
So three shows next week we'll be recording, I think.
Yeah.
But on behalf of David Griggs, John Stalica, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.